God of promise, words, and actions, open our ears now to your word that we may understand what you call us to and that you never leave us. Amen. Let us prepare our hearts and our minds to hear God's word in the reading Isaiah 35, 1 through 6, pages 1111 in your pew book there. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given it to you. To splendor of Carmel and Sharon, they will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lamb leap to like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Okay, our second scripture reading today is from Mark chapter 7. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded the people not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." This is the word of the Lord. As the writer of Ecclesiastes from the Old Testament shares, there is nothing new under the sun, even though it feels like it sometimes to all of us. We rejoice during these times in the presence of God and our relationship with Christ, who God's word says continues to hold everything together in him. When everything seems strange and upside down and a little bit crazy, and we are living in a little bit of a strange world right now. It remains a privilege to listen to other stories from our congregation because they serve as reminders of God's goodness and faithfulness and the promise in Philippians, which Rick shared. These stories also remind us of God's partnership with us as the body of Christ, and certainly did in Rick's story. The church, the body of Christ, remains the hope of the world. Amen?
Amen.
We had a nice vacation last week. As I shared with the kids, we went to Devil's Lake, which is just as you enter Lincoln City, and it has some nice actual little pockets, kind of guarded from the wind at the coast and a little bit more sunny from the coastal wind. And we did go to the ocean at one point, and I should show you the picture. I have a blanket over my head and I'm just sitting. all you can see are your eyes, but you have to go see the ocean. But the lake was wonderful. We were able to do some of my favorite things, as you saw from my little bag of goodies there. I read a lot, sat in the sun, ate a lot. We even got to go kayaking. I love kayaking because it's so quiet out on the water. It helps me to kind of just observe what's around me and rest the paddle in front of me and soak in that quiet and that peace and God's presence, and puts things back in perspective for me. So nature does that for me. I also had a really good time with my parents. I have four parents. I have all kinds of parents. My mom and Barry, came for a few days during our trip. And at the beginning of the trip, my dad, Greg, and stepmom, Nancy, usually sit over here. They came just for maybe 24 hours, and it was very nice that they had some time there too. They are all wise people. Mm-hmm. I was a teenager once, as we all were, and I have to say, now that I've grown a little bit older, I've learned the value of people, especially my parents, speaking into my life and into my family's life. So for you, when, what kind of settings and where are you when you feel the closest to God? Who are the people that you're with when you feel that peace, a little bit set apart from the turmoil in the world? And do you allow them to speak into your life, and are they people that bring you closer to Christ? We are reminded through this reading today of another setting early on in Mark's gospel, when Jesus is preaching in someone's home and many people are gathered around and they have filled the house. There's no longer space to sit or stand, and it says they're even in front of the door so people can't get in to see him. And suddenly in that story, four men arrive with their friend on a stretcher. Do you remember this one? It's a wonderful one. And they're unable to get him into the house, and it's just kind of chaos. So they go where? They go up to the roof, right? And they begin to kind of dig and remove what needs to be removed, and it's continued chaos, and there's some mess, and people are wondering what's going on, and they lower their friend on the mat right in front of Jesus, and their friend is paralyzed. We don't know anything about these particular friends. We don't know if one kind of took charge and gathered the three others. We don't know if they kind of found people from the front porch as they went by dragging this stretcher so they had many hands to help. We don't know if the man who was paralyzed wanted to go see Jesus and to be healed. We don't know if they talked him into it, maybe. And what were some of the things he did after he was healed and he was able to walk? Do you have four friends in your life who bring you closer to Jesus? So today we read further on in this gospel a story that isn't repeated in the other gospels in any detail, and it's a similar situation that plays out. Scripture says some people brought to Jesus a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. And we have similar questions. Was this man's idea? Was it the friend's idea? What did it take to get him there? We don't have any idea. We're not told. Now, in this passage, the discussion about how Jesus healed can be a little bit distracting. One of our worship team this week said this was a story she wouldn't want to share with her kids when they were little because they'd be spitting and putting their fingers into one another's ears. I was saying, probably not one for Sunday school, right? But Jesus healed him, said, Afatha, and he was able to suddenly hear, and all of a sudden he could speak clearly. So this stunned the crowd apparently so much that they began to just zealously, they had to share that story of what had happened. The man's disabilities didn't make him unclean, according to the Old Testament law. Listen to some of it if you haven't read Leviticus before. Just a short portion. This is the Lord speaking to Moses. You shall not defraud your neighbor. You shall not steal. You shall not keep for yourself the wages of a laborer until morning. You shall not revile the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind. You shall fear your God. I am the Lord. Unlike the bleeding woman in Scripture who had been bleeding for 12 years and reached out to touch the hem of Jesus' garment, this man wasn't unclean, according to the law. But there is some direction in the Old Testament he wouldn't have been able to serve as a priest and to make offerings on behalf of others. He was a little limited. He was unable to engage with community to some extent, And there were things that separated him from that community and from other people, right? Just like today. And here, for the first time, he's made whole. He can hear, and he can speak clearly. I wonder what he said. It doesn't tell us. I wonder what those first words were. Our Old Testament reading today was from the prophet Isaiah, who speaks of God's restoration in Israel. And these are just the last few verses. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. There will be new life in the desert. The people will be exiled no longer. Those who are lame will leap like deer, and even those who are blind will see. Those who have this described mute tongue will shout for joy, and the Greek translation of that word used there, by the way, is used only once in the New Testament, and it's in our reading today. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Same word. And evidence God has already begun renewal, restoration, and redemption. There is always hope in Jesus Christ, even in a time when things feel rather upside down. There are people for each of us who brought us, who bring us, hopefully, closer to Jesus. If you don't have four, I hope you can maybe think of one or two. If you have friends like that, they are very, very rare. Think about who you spend time with. Do they bring you closer to Jesus, or do they stir up something else? Maybe some bitterness or some frustration. As we bring others closer to Jesus, we become part of their stories, just as these four friends became part of their friend's life-changing story. Those we influence to come to know Christ or to grow closer to him, become whole, and somehow isn't the body of Christ made somehow mysteriously a little bit more whole as well. Like this man who friends brought him, as he couldn't hear and he couldn't speak, he was not only brought closer to Jesus, he was brought into that community. He became part of that community. And what is this community? Many of us have stories of churches we have walked into where we weren't welcomed, or we weren't spoken to, or we had too much trouble getting involved, or worse yet, a member of the church or the body of Christ said something that hurt us, something rude to us, and we never returned, right? I know a few of you at least have stories like that. I have my own funny stories, and I have painful stories too. There was the church I tried one Easter with my parents, I think, and my brother, and I was probably about 6 months pregnant with my oldest, Grace, who's now like 20 years old, and so I was pretty obviously pregnant, and no one, as we came into this crowded sanctuary, offered me a seat. In fact, they didn't offer any of our family a seat. Do you remember this? It was very hot. It was Easter. You know how when it's Easter Sunday and people are kind of packed in there, and it's hot, and I grew nauseous and dizzy and kind of leaned against the wall, and we were standing, and we, churchgoers our whole lives, we just turned and walked out, and we had Easter Sunday at Starbucks that year. Sadly, I never tried that church again. And notably, that those people there who had something to offer us, and vice versa, right? That was never a connection that was then made. Many of us have stories that are less funny and simply just really painful to share of fellow Christian brothers and sisters we've lost in our lives due to disagreement or estrangement or misunderstanding or sheer hurt. But I still believe in the body of Christ, and for that reason, I still believe in the church, and I think as evidence of that, God led me back to serve a church. The members of the body of Christ, they keep you grounded The church, your brothers and sisters, they remind you of who you are. They do things you cannot do. You learn from them. They pray for you. They encourage you to do better. Sometimes they show you a different way of doing something. They show up when others do not show up. They become a part of your story. And they tell our stories when we are no longer able to share them, due to age, due to cognitive difficulty maybe, due to trouble speaking, or when we forget. The writer of Ecclesiastes, obviously I've been reading Ecclesiastes, says the people of long ago are not remembered, nor will there be any remembrance of people yet to come by those who come after them. But the church, one of the church's roles is to remember. The church is not only to remember the story of Jesus Christ and our salvation, but also to remember our stories in the life of our God. And the church reminds us who we are. This is a, forgive me for kind of a lengthy quote. This is from a book that I'm reading. One of the problems for people with dementia or other cognitive disabilities is that they gradually begin to lose the ability to tell their own stories. Particularly, they do not have the ability to articulate stories in ways that provide them with enough social power to sustain their identities as valuable and capable human beings. We all grow old, we all eventually go home to be with the Lord, of course. The author says the various stories told by the power others hold that surround them eventually overwhelm their own stories, leaving them asking, "Who will I be when I die?" And resonating in a strange way with Jesus' question to his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Gradually, the question changes from that which is asked by all people, "How can I tell my story well?" to "Who will tell my story well?" In a culture which prizes memory, intellect, freedom, reason, autonomy, and I would add to the author's list sight and hearing, what kinds of stories will be told about those who seem to be losing these things? It's as I said to a patient one day who couldn't remember her name, "We will remember for you." The church, the body of Christ, and here we see that in some small way in these four friends who dragged their friend to Jesus, and in similar stories, the church is to remember. And the church is to remind us who we are and to tell our stories long after we are gone. Now, finally, perhaps the simplest point from this passage, but also one of the most important. This man who was healed was able to finally tell his own story. His tongue was loosened. He must have been part of that group in verses 36 and 37 there at the end. The more Jesus commanded them not to spread the word, the more they did so and kept talking about it. It says people were overwhelmed with amazement. Keep the ones who bring you closer to Jesus close to you, whether there's four or there is one, because they are very rare. Tell the stories of God's faithfulness for the ones who can no longer tell it themselves. That's one of our jobs. That's one of our roles as the church. And share your story. We don't have to look very far to find hate and segregation and loneliness and isolation and all of those things. But the church remains the hope of the world and the hope for all of us. Amen.